hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Good evening to everyone. This is Eben, and another Saturday. We thank God. It's always a privilege to come your way. And this evening, loaded, lots of things to talk about. Now the news, when you're working on it, is like, what do you take, what do you leave out? But we still manage to get something for the night. The times are just something else, but it's unfortunate the church seems still to be in another state, you know, in coma or whatever it is you can call it. Eben, and from now till 9:30, 8 to 9:30, I'm going to be with you, and we'll first start with the news, some of the things happening, some important things that we should know about the times. So I'll play some two files, and you know, we have to be informed. We shouldn't be ignorant of the times we are in. You know, so much ignorance is what is affecting the body of Christ, because when you don't know what is happening in your enemy's camp, you think all is well. So it's like you are standing somewhere and you see smoke from afar. As to what the cause of the smoke is, well, you don't know whether it's a car burning, it's a house burning, it's a bush burning, a tire burning. You can't really be sure. But if someone comes from that side and tells you that ABC, this is exactly what is burning, then you have to believe and know exactly what it is. You know, when they themselves say things, they in the, you know, I mean the globalists, the world, these people, the world leaders and all, when they say things openly, but the church seems not to understand what they are saying. Because we've either blocked our ears, we've closed our eyes, and we've pretended not to see and not to hear what is happening. We are deceiving ourselves because it doesn't change the reality. If it's raining and you say it's not raining, we are deceiving yourself because the ground is wet anyway. So if the times are set for things to happen and the church is still refusing to accept that these are the times, it's up to us. But the reality will soon catch up. And that's the sad part of it. All right, I'll go further into that, but let me get going with the news. And we have, you know, the world has virtually reached a tipping point of what could be a global recession, ultimately leading to the ultimate goal of creating the Great Reset. And indeed, the Great Reset is exactly what is happening, and they are talking about it openly, but even most people don't even understand. They've not even heard the phrase Great Reset. They don't even know what it is. And it's like, you know, when you are in a battle and your enemy is doing things exactly which you should be knowing and know how to pray and know what to do, and you have no idea at all, it means you have a lot to catch up on. Okay, so let me start first with this headline, a UN report that says Ukraine war causes giant leap in global food prices, says the UN. The Ukraine war led to a giant leap in food prices last month to another record high, according to the United Nations. This has cut off supplies from the world's biggest exporter of sunflower oil, which means the costs of alternatives have also climbed. Ukraine is also a major producer of cereals such as maize and wheat, which have risen sharply in price too. The UN said, quote, war in the Black Sea region spread shocks through the markets for staple grains and vegetable oils, unquote. The UN Food Price Index tracks the world's most traded food commodities, measuring the average prices of cereals, vegetable oil, dairy, meat, and sugar. Food prices are at their highest since records began 60 years ago, according to the index, which jumped nearly 13% in March, following February's record high. The price of vegetable oil soared 23%, while cereals were up 17%, sugar rose 7%, meat was up 5%, whilst dairy, which has been less affected by the war, only climbed 3%. But even that one too, the avian flu is also... the avian flu is for the poultry, rather, not the dairy. All right, then we have the price of vegetable oil. Okay, I've read that one. Food commodity prices were already at 10-year highs before the war in Ukraine, according to the index, because of the global harvest issues. And for those who remember, last year, August, September, I was reading these reports, and that's when I started sounding the alarm bells of what is happening. So the problem started before the war came. I mean, so it's like the race has already started, and then the war has come to boost it. So it's like in accelerated mode. But even if the war didn't even come off, the problem was still going to occur in one way or the other. But the magnitude would not have been as it is. But this war has really made it something else completely. In the UK, industry experts have warned that the cost of food could rise up by 15% this year. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization warned last month that food prices could rise up to 20% as a result of the conflict in Ukraine, raising the risk of increased malnutrition across the world. It has cut its world wheat projection for 2022 from 790 million tons to 784 million because of the possibility that at least 20% of Ukraine's winter crop will not be harvested because of direct destruction. I see. You know, and we are seeing it. I mean, unless you don't buy anything in Ghana, but if you go to the market or you buy food in any way, anywhere, the reality is there. So what is happening elsewhere is we are not immune to it. We are also seeing it. This headline is, it says, from Pakistan to Peru, soaring food and fuel prices are tipping countries over the edge. When people took to the streets, in Egypt in 2011, protesters chanted about freedom and social justice, but also bread. The cost of pantry staples had jumped because of the skyrocketing price of goods like wheat, stoking fury with President Hosni Mubarak. Yeah. That was the Arab Spring era. Now, more than a decade after the Arab Spring, global food prices are soaring again, and they have already reached the highest level on record earlier this year as the pandemic, poor weather, and climate crisis upended agriculture and threatened food security for millions of people. Then came Russia's war in Ukraine, making the situation much worse, whilst also triggering a spike in the cost of the other daily essential fuel. Then combination could generate a wave of political instability as people who were already frustrated with the government leaders are pushed over the edge by rising food costs. And then it's extremely worrisome, says Rabah Areski, senior fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and former chief economist at African Development Bank. Then you have, goes on, say that circumstances in individual countries differed, but the bigger picture was clear. Surging wheat prices were a major part of the problem. The situation now is even worse than it was then. Global food prices have just hit a new record high. The FAO price index published Friday hits 159.3 in March, up almost 13% from February. The war in Ukraine, a major exporter of wheat, corn, vegetable oil, as well as harsh sanctions on Russia, a key producer of wheat and fertilizer, is expected to spur the further price increases in the coming months. 40% of wheat and corn exports from Ukraine go to Middle East and Africa, which are already grappling with hunger issues and where further food shortages or price increases could stoke social unrest. Gilbert Hugo, head of the International Fund for Agricultural Development, said last month. And then adding to the pain is the surge in energy prices. Global oil prices are almost 60% higher than they were a year ago. The cost of coal and natural gas has spiked too. Many governments are struggling to protect their citizens, but fragile economies that borrowed heavily to make it through the 2008 financial crisis and the pandemic are also vulnerable, as growth slows, hurting their currencies and making it harder to keep up with debt payments. Maintaining subsidies for food and fuel will be difficult, especially if prices keep climbing. And then he says, we are now in a situation where countries are indebted, Areski said. As a result, they have no buffers to try to contain the tensions that will emerge from such high prices. And according to the World Bank, close to 60% of the poorest countries were already in debt distress or at high risk of it on the eve of the invasion of Ukraine. And then it goes on. I mean, we have Asia, where Sri Lanka, they are having problems. And then in Lebanon, they are having problems. In Egypt, the world's largest buyer of wheat is already seeing enormous pressure on its huge subsidy program for bread. The country recently set a fixed price for unsubsidized bread after prices spiked, and is trying to secure wheat imports from countries like India and Argentina instead. With the estimated 70% of the world's poor living in Africa, the continent will also be very exposed to rising food and energy prices, Areski warned. He mentions Somalia, South Sudan, Burkina Faso have created a food security crisis for more than a quarter of the continent's population, the International Committee of Red Cross said this week. You know, they really paint a very grim picture. Then it goes on to say that in Europe, it's also not too good. France's current president is promising to give food coupons, and the elections is coming up, so the main contender is also promising to cut food prices when she comes. You know, it's serious. I mean, you watch the news, you read reports, people queuing in shops for oil in Europe, people complaining about food prices in various countries. So, you see, this is a global issue. You know, these are the times when things which seem to be abnormal and off the normal records that we know, it should wake us up at least, to start asking questions. Go back to the Bible. You know, especially when it's coming just after, you know, a pandemic, which was also a first of its kind in the world. You know, things which should make the church ask questions and be more alert spiritually. But it seems, no. The church doesn't seem to understand what is happening. And I can dare say, if you talk to pastors one-on-one, it's very few who even understand the dynamics behind all that is happening. A lot of them have no idea. It's like they just don't understand what's happening in the world. But you see, if you really want to be a leader and to be able to lead your church, congregation, whatever, followers, through the seasons that we are in. It's not just about spirituality. It's not just about prayer and the word of God and the prophetic. No, it goes more than that. Knowledge, even about the times, comes in handy. Because you see, how do you synchronize the reality out there with the word of God? For the Holy Spirit to give you insight as to the meaning and what to do and what to say and what to preach and all that. So if you have there's a lack of knowledge in the reality of the times and the events, then there will be a missing link somewhere. Unfortunately, that seems to be a common thing we are seeing in the body of Christ, where there's a big missing link between the reality, that's what the things happening around us, and the factors, and then the real meaning, linking it to the spiritual aspect of it, is a challenge, and I believe people have to wake up. All right, so the next news, we have chip under supply. You know, I've talked about this before, I explained the factors, the chip supply. You know, there's a supply chain crisis with the chip shortage worldwide. So this one, the chip under supply to last until 2024, says Volkswagen CFO, that's the VW company. Semiconductor chip supply is unlikely to be enough to completely satisfy demand again until 2024. Volkswagen chief financial officer Amo Anitlis said in an interview with German daily Börsen Zeitung on Saturday. He said that although bottlenecks would begin to ease towards the end of this year, with production returning to 2019 levels next year, this would not be enough to meet heightened demand for the chips. The structural undersupply will likely only resolve itself in 2024. And then it says a lack of wire harnesses from Ukraine was also still causing some shifts to be cancelled. Anilitz said even as the company was establishing new supplier relationships to source the components from other countries. And this chip shortage, it runs through virtually all serious or major industries in the world. Not only the car industry, but even factories, production, supplies. I mean, so this whole thing is affecting, is pushing prices up. So you see, a whole lot of factors are behind the price increments you are seeing all over the place. So many things are part of it. The supply chain crisis, the shortage of chips, the high cost of diesel worldwide, before the war came, all these things were the factors that were driving these things. And then the war too has brought its own set of problems. So all these things are pushing the world to the brink. It's pushing the world to the brink. And so the World Economic Forum, last week I played an excerpt of when they talked about the cashless society, when they did the Dubai World Government Summit. The name alone should give you some world government. You know, let me first play these two files, and then one is Klaus Schwab. He is the founder and then the chief executive of the World Economic Forum. In these people, World Economic Forum, virtually, they are the ones calling the shots for the world. I mean, a lot of things, they are the ones. But you listen to what you say, and then followed by another speaker, the first speaker actually at the event on the first day. All right, so listen, and then I'll come back.
Current issues on our agenda, we tend to forget that we are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution, which accelerates global change in much more comprehensive and faster ways than the previous three revolutions. The objective is to quickly recognize the potential of new technologies, as well as develop the necessary ethical and political frameworks around those new technologies to ensure that those technologies are human-centered and society-oriented. The world has to overcome not only the damage done to our economies and our societies by COVID-19, it also has to confront the repercussions of a dangerous clash between major global powers. History is truly at a turning point. We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. In times of crisis, the role of governments is more important and more relevant than ever. What is also needed is a summit like this one to go beyond crisis management and to look into constructive ways we can build our common future. Our futures are intrinsically connected to one another, as the profound challenges to mankind, such as climate change, are globally interconnected and require collaborative responses. In conclusion, and despite all the challenges, we have to uphold our responsibility, which we have towards the next generation, and which we can only fulfill through collaboration on a national and on a global level. I wish you an impactful and successful meeting. We do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected.
But here it is, day one, World Government Summit yesterday in Dubai. Here's the first session. Are we ready for a new world order?
And the title of this session, Are We Ready for a New World Order? Well, the organizers here are nothing if not ambitious. This is, I think you will agree, a daunting subject for discussion at just after 9 a.m. on a Wednesday morning here in the relative calm of Expo 2020. But tackle it we must, yes, because I believe what is clear is that we have hit an inflection point.
Ooh, wait a minute.
We are certainly living in a unique age of uncertainty and volatility in global affairs.
Huh, that is weird because it's almost exactly what Joe Biden said last week. Remember, we are at an inflection point that only happens once in a generation, maybe a little longer.
Very, very interesting. The first speaker, Prof. Klaus Schwab, he's a German, so I think the English isn't too clear. Well, let me repeat the key thing he said. However, we do know the global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains would be deeply affected. You know, some of you may not understand, but all that is happening in the world as planned. Yeah. So they know what they are talking about. And that's how come they've been giving the signals. So the signals have been showing earlier. That's why some of these things, I've been talking about it on the program. Because if you follow them, you can know some things. They don't hide things, but, you know, it's up to those who want to know who know. That's how they see their things. So it's like it's hidden in plain view. If you want to see, you can see. But, you know, they don't hide it per se. And I can say this because last year I joined their meeting online. I signed up, joined. I just wanted to know, wanted to do caucus and know what they are talking about. And, you know, after the meeting, you can know exactly where the world is headed. So all that is happening is not surprising. Oh, yeah, it's not. So they know. That's what he said. He's saying the truth. They know that all that is happening, the food supply, the energy supply system, and the chain supply chain systems would be deeply affected. underline, deeply affected. And this, indeed, is what is happening. This is just is going to happen fully. The deep, as he said, is what is going to happen. Because, you see, in creating the Great Reset, which is also the New World Order, is this alternative words, or the Fourth Industrial Revolution, is the same thing, that they just switch words, is to break and destroy the current world system and build back better. So intentionally, these globalists are breaking down the world system as we know it. And then they will build it back better in the way they want it. Coincidentally, their ultimate plan and everything aligns with Bible prophecy perfectly. So their destruction of the world system and then building back better, it's just like going back to the Tower of Babel, where it's like we are one. That's how come we get eventually the one world religion, the one world government, and then the cashless society, one world economy. It's that's the whole thing. So their plan is anti-God in the sense that if you go back to the Tower of Babel, humanity wanted to be one and God scattered. And now they are going back to the drawing board of the Tower of Babel again, where it's like we want to be one. So we are one religion, one political leader, one, the one world government, one religious system, and then, no cash, cashless, where everything can be tracked. You can be taken off the system. You cannot buy or sell if you are not conforming to the system. So everything is just falling in line perfectly. So if you understand the game that they are playing, it's not off the script when it comes to the word of God. We are living in very interesting times. The church should have been ahead in knowledge regarding the times we are in, to be well prepared and equipped to prepare their members. Unfortunately, it seems people just are not interested in what is happening, because it's like, it seems to some conspiracy theory. But these are not conspiracy theories. At first, yes, people thought it was conspiracy theories. One world religion, oh, no, it's not possible. New world order, oh, no. People just laughed it off as conspiracy theories. But now you have them saying it openly. I played Joe Biden's voice last 2 weeks. They are not hiding it. They've come out, because the time is now. Now is the time to set it up. So they are not hiding it again. And you see, this whole COVID thing was the starting point of the whole, because it presents the perfect opportunity to reset the world, according to Professor Schwab in other statements that he made, earlier. And also, you see, what we are seeing in the world now, look at the question they asked. Are we ready for the new world order? That was the first session of the World Government Summit. World Government Summit. First session this year at Dubai, the Expo 2020. They postponed it because of COVID, so it's like they still kept the name 2020. But it was done this 2022 recently. So they are asking, are we ready for the new world order? But is the church ready? Interesting. I'll come back. You let me finish the news and then I'll come back to that. All right. So we jump to the next one. I'll finish the chip supply. And then, so the EU, European Union, unveils new strategy to become a global power. When I saw this, I said, wow. Bible prophecy is just getting off the charts again. This war in Ukraine is pushing EU to get its act together and build a unified force, a bigger force than the one they've had. So the European Union has published a new strategy aimed at transforming the 27 member bloc into an independent geopolitical actor on the world stage. The long-awaited strategic compass lays out an ambitious 10-year plan for the EU to develop an autonomous European security architecture. And the goal is strategic autonomy, the ability for the EU to act independently of and as a counterweight to the United States in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization in matters of defense and security. You know, this is obvious because after the disgrace that the U.S. Witnessed in the Afghanistan withdrawal, they saw it that, you know, the U.S. can no longer be an ally they can depend on. So, and even now, the current war, the statement Joe Biden has been making and the posture of U.S. in indirect and direct ways and all, is giving them the clear signals that they cannot trust the U.S. to be a good ally. So it's now pushing them to now build their own. I mean, if you read some of the news, Germany is ordering, I mean, countries, Germany and others, spending billions, on, you know, military advancement, equipment. So suddenly, you know, EU has been, they've been cool, nothing worrying them. So all has been well, sort of. But this shakeup in the Eastern Bloc regarding the Ukrainian war has given them a wake-up call that, hey, you got to wake up. So things are really, they are really serious with ammunition and military build-up to the point where now they are looking at building a stronger force. So the greatest advocate of the strategic autonomy is the French President Emmanuel Macron. Said the objective is to make Europe powerful in the world, fully sovereign, and free in its choices and master of its destiny. So the 64-page policy blueprint, a strategic compass for security and defense, was originally commissioned in 2020 by the government of former German Chancellor Angela Merkel. An initial draft of the document presented in November 2021 was significantly revised after EU member states were given the opportunity to submit requests for changes. The document was then hastily rewritten after Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022. And then it goes on and on. So, EU, former Roman Empire as it is going to rise up in a stronger way now. Interesting times. And, you know, sometimes you read, I'll be spending time on letter editions, not tonight. I'll be reading those parts of the Bible, prophecies, Daniel and all those things. We're talking about them. Because we should understand what is happening. People should understand what is happening and the spiritual implications and the meaning. Because, you see, because of this lack of understanding of the reality out there and then the prophecies in our Bible, there's a disjoint, as I said earlier. So it's making it difficult for people to see the seriousness of the times. And that's unfortunate. This headline says, I like the way they put it. It's Schwab, that's the file, the man I play, the German Schwab, the World Economic Forum boss. Is Schwab's World Economic Forum preparing the way for Daniel's fourth kingdom of Bible prophecy? So during the keynote speech on the opening day of the World Government Summit, WGS 2022 in Dubai, the WEF, that's World Economic Forum's chief executive, Klaus Schwab, called for world leaders to unite to address global issues such as climate change, trade, economic disruption. He emphasized that this one world government must form as soon as possible. The one world government must form as soon as possible. The Great Reset, it says that the impact of the fourth industrial revolution accelerates global change in a much more comprehensive and faster way than the previous industrial revolution. Schwab said to be assembled world leaders, sell to the assembled world leaders, despite all the challenges, we have to hold the responsibility we have towards the next generation through collaborations on a national and on a global level. Our futures are intrinsically connected, and that requires collaborative responses. The world has to overcome the damage done to our economies and societies by COVID-19. It also has to confront the repercussions of a dangerous clash between major global powers, Schwab went on to say during the session. Rabbi Yosef Berger, the rabbi of King David's tomb on Mount Zion, noted that it was not by chance that Schwab adopted the concept of fourth industrial revolution for the time for unifying the world governments and corporations. The rabbi cited the book of Daniel. He said, "This the fourth beast, that's Daniel 7:23. The fourth beast means there will be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which will be different from all the kingdoms. It will devour the whole earth, tread it down, and crush it." Daniel 7:23. And then, quote says that, like so many before him, this person wants to rule for his own glory and from his own glory. He understands that Daniel was a great prophet, and this person, who I wish not to name, wants to pervert the words of Daniel for his purpose, unquote. And then, quote again, I have seen great leaders come to Jerusalem over the years, the leaders who seek God's glory, who know that their mandate as a ruler comes from King David and the God of Israel, are successful and bring light into the world. Others reject Jerusalem, actually reject it, and they inevitably bring darkness into the world, unquote. Then goes on to say COVID is a favorite subject of Schwab. He wrote a book titled COVID-19, The Great Reset, describing the pandemic as a rare opportunity. Quote, at the time of writing, June 2020, the pandemic continues to worsen globally, Schwab wrote in his book. Quote, many of us are pondering when things will return to normal. The short response is never. Let me repeat. At the time of writing, June 2020, the pandemic continues to worsen globally, Schwab wrote in his book. Quote, many of us are pondering when things will return to normal. The short response is never. Nothing will ever return to the broken sense of normalcy that prevailed before the crisis, because the coronavirus pandemic marks a fundamental inflection point. That's what the lady also talked about. Fundamental inflection point in our global trajectory, unquote. Interesting. I wish people understood exactly what these people are saying. In 2020, the World Economic Forum was headlined The Great Reset. At the heart of the agenda is Klaus Schwab's concept of stakeholder capitalism, an idea that Schwab has been advocating for decades, which would result in allocating corporations more power over society. Elected governments will be just one stakeholder in a multi-stakeholder model of global governance. Underline, global governance. That's the one world concept. Corporations will be official stakeholders in global decision making, while governments are relegated to being one of many stakeholders. And the stakeholders in the corporations will take a back seat as the corporate executives are given full autonomy. Some may find it disturbing to note that in this book, Schwab coined the term Build Back Better, which was adopted by President Joe Biden ahead of his inauguration as the name of his legislative framework. Like Schwab, Biden has a long history of openly advocating for New World Order, and noting that Biden has a long history of advocating for a New World Order. He recently went off script and called for a New World Order at an address at the Business Roundtable CEO's quarterly meeting. The Business Roundtable is a strong proponent of the Great Reset, and Biden was immediately hustled off the stage by his staff after saying it, because he was going off script. So they feared he would be saying things. Because that thing, the file I played then, he said it was a classified security meeting. That's one military officer says, and then it's like, so it's not something that you should have said it. And then, so you see, things are coming out, but can we catch the signals that they are sending to us? Can we catch the signals? Let me finish the last news item, then I'll come back after and discuss some of these things in depth. The last one, or no, the last two, sorry, That's very worrying ones indeed. Disney corporate president says next generation, quote, queerer, unquote, queerer. So the next generation, they are queerer, referring to the children. So the company must get with it. The company must conform. So Disney corporate president Carrie Beck told company staff that Generation Z is 30 to 40% queerer than previous generations, according to a video of the company video call. As my son texted me this morning, Generation Z is 30 to 40% queerer than other generations, Beck said on the video call published by writer Christopher F. Rufo. So Disney better get with it. When I was at Freeform, it was very much in the brand, the ethos, to be the tip of the spear when it comes to inclusion. Beck explained earlier in the same call, Freeform is a cable television channel owned by Disney Corporation. Quote, in part, I think nobody stopped us because we were targeting Generation Z and millennials. We were targeting younger and more open-minded. And then goes on to say, Beck added before cutting off herself in the call. Then Beck said in another video that she would like to see at least 50% of Disney characters in the future identify as LGBT or as racial minority. Let me repeat. Beck said in another video that she would like to see at least, minimum, 50% of Disney's characters in the future. And the future can be next month, can be next year, next 2 weeks, next 3 weeks. So just the times ahead, expect that. In other words, so they want 50% of Disney's characters in the future identify as LGBT or as racial minority. The in-house videos of Disney pushing the progressive agenda come after some Disney employees walked off the job last week protesting a perceived lack of company opposition to a Florida bill that prohibits teachers from providing instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through grade 3 classrooms. Disney announced last week that it would work to repeal Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' new parental rights in education law, because the company is dedicated to standing up for the rights and safety of LGBTQ community. I mean, imagine this. Disney, oh, come on. You know, years back, Disney was purely entertainment for children. Entertainment and educational, purely positive for children, years back. But Disney today is a poisonous, extremely hell-leading channel. If you want your children to go to hell, then let them watch Disney channels. Because now, and you know, they are not hiding it. This is their corporate head, you know. Corporate president saying that this is her wish. And these are not empty wishes. They have money. So if they say they are doing it. You see, so they've set an agenda to indoctrinate and destroy the children. So in Florida, where the governor has passed the law or signed a bill into law which protects children KG to class 3, at least the school cannot discuss these, you know, LGBT stuff, identity and all that, protecting the children, Disney is angry and up in arms because one of their biggest, you know, locations is in Orlando, Florida. So a company that's rather supposed to be protective of the children is rather fighting those who are protecting children. Can you imagine that? The company that's supposed to be children friendly and rather children protector is rather fighting those who are signing laws to protect children. I mean, the world has turned upside down. Black is white, white is black, good is bad. It's, the world is completely gone nuts, completely off the charts now, because it makes no sense that Disney Channel or Disney Company, I mean, it's the company, so you know, they have more than one channel and they're into a whole lot of programming, their playgrounds and all. is just now openly destroying the children, and parents in Ghana listening to me or whoever outside, wherever, listening to Issues of Life, I'm begging you, do not let your children watch these channels and their programs. They are designed, you know, earlier ones were fine and safe. I mean, that one, there's no doubt about it. But now, the times we are in now, they've decided, they've been demonized and emboldened, set an agenda that they are destroying the children. Last week, I read about one other meeting where one of the other executives also was talking about it. They push it and ensures that, you see, so it's an agenda that they have, these liberal, extreme liberal, bosses who are bringing their demonic agendas in there, ensuring that they are working it out to the fullest. So those are the days, gone are the days where you see it as just entertainment for kids. No longer. Now it's no longer entertainment. It's not entertainment for kids. It's distraction for kids. And not just destroying them, but putting them on a path where if care is not taken, they'll be destroyed for life. Because they are indoctrinating them to the point where getting into lifestyles which, if they are not delivered and the mercy and grace of God hasn't come in, they are off. They are off. The devil is working overtime. The devil is busy working overtime, ensuring that the kids are destroyed. And you see, they have various, they are using the educational system, then the entertainment system. These two things are the strong pillars they've used in times past, in recent times past, and then it's like going forward, they are even pushing it to higher levels. So the educational system, fortunately for us in Ghana, they were trying it, but the resistance was strong. So this CSE and all that, CSE, we heavily opposed and resisted it, and they had to backtrack. And up till now, they are struggling to bring their textbooks. Interesting time. So, but elsewhere in the U.S., yeah, some states are seriously dangerous. They are pushing it. The worrying part is some of these channels out there, we have on our decoders, people have it at home and all. Some of the so-called foreign channels for children, educational channels. I saw one, it's serious, ABC. No, ABCD, ABCD, you know, that's like, you know, A for apple, B for boy, and all. They've done one, and it's only LGBT things. So A for, I've forgotten, B for something. That's how bad it is. So just imagine ABCD, so A for things which are all ABC, all linked to LGBT community. And it's for children. So colorful and educational material for children, but contaminating them. See, so if you are not careful and you just allow your children to watch anything, oh, it's a children's channel, oh, let them watch, it's colorful, you see the red, green, and you know the colors, and then, you know, you're happy. Please, don't be deceived. They are destroying the children out there, and because of the power of technology and the satellites, so we have decoders here that are able to get some of these channels even in Ghana. So if per chance you see, oh, it's an educational channel, my children can watch, you are in trouble. So please, parents should be enlightened. I've spoken a lot about this on this program previous times, digital parenting and all that. So I just hope people just understand these things. Not that we are extremists too, but the days we are living in, you just don't take some chances. You just don't take some chances. Okay, so the next news item is not surprising, because it says 2/3 of U.S. adults claim they would be comfortable if their child came out as lesbian, gay, or bisexual. That's serious. Nearly 2/3 of adults in the U.S. say they would be comfortable if their child came out as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, according to a new survey. But only half would be comfortable with having a transgender or non-binary child. The poll released Thursday for the Trevor Project, a non-profit group focused on suicide prevention and mental health for LGBTQ and questioning youth, analyzed overall knowledge, understanding, and comfort regarding sexual orientation and gender identity amongst U.S. adults. More than 2,200 respondents answered questions on family acceptance, personal knowledge of LGBTQ people, as well as the usage of the pronouns LGBTQ identity terms such as queer, pansexual, and non-binary. The survey found that whilst 2/3 of the adults reported personally knowing a person who identifies as gay, that 69%, or lesbian, 65%, only 29% said they knew a person, they knew at least one transgender person. That figure is even lower for non-binary person or people, those who whose gender identity or expression is neither male nor female. Fewer than one in five U.S. adults, that's 17%, reported knowing at least one such person. Those who were most aware of the fact that people use gender-neutral pronouns, quote, generally were more comfortable about the prospect of their child using they/them pronouns, unquote, the release reads. On the other end of the spectrum, adults who weren't aware of the gender-neutral pronouns use were 2.4 times more likely to not be able to fully understand or support non-binary and or transgender children in their life. Issues of visibility continue to be spotlighted by the poll. Just 29% of adults reported knowing someone who is transgender, while 17% said they know someone who is non-binary. Beyond this, 69% said they know someone who is gay, while 65% reported knowing someone who is lesbian. Just 48% of adults reported knowing someone who is bisexual. For those who knew that someone is trans or non-binary, 67% reported knowing one or two people, whilst 9% said they knew more than seven people who had these identities. Comparatively, 20% of the surveyed adults reported knowing more than seven LGBTQ and all the people, those various categories, according to the release. And you see, these statistics give a worry because, you see, let me explain why it's worrying. The same power of the media is what is resulting in this. You see, the more you see something, the more it becomes acceptable to you. So the media has portrayed, you know, for those who have listened to this program for some years, during Obama's time, in the latter ages, times of his time, there was one news item I read here, in which the wife, Michelle, was congratulating Hollywood for the role played in pushing the LGBT agenda to the forefront. She was congratulating them. I mean, it's one news item I'll never forget, because it's like, oh, so these people have a major role to play, and indeed, they are doing it very well. So they got the admiration and congratulations from the first lady then. See, so the media has been, just imagine, that's like what I just read, the Disney thing. See, there's an agenda. For those, I remember reading about Hallmark Entertainment, where they set a percentage, I've forgotten the percentage, that henceforth, all movies, at least that percentage, should carry LGBT content. See, so the entertainment world, they are on a mission to ensure that they push this thing as far and as much as possible into the world. See, so as people are watching and watching and watching and watching, it's becoming acceptable. It's becoming acceptable. So now if you have all these large numbers, not seeing anything wrong with these things, it's because of they are being numbed. The numbness of their feelings and their whatever is coming from the exposure in the media. So now what used to be offensive to them, they've seen it in the media. The media has made it look acceptable. So now there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. But the final news, I believe if you are to do a similar survey in Ghana, we'll get similar results. It's unprecedented drop in the number of Americans that read their Bible in the past. Okay, the word read, in this case, it should be read. So, by the same spelling, so pardon me. Unprecedented drop in the number of Americans that read their Bible in the past 12 months. There has been an unprecedented drop in the number of Bible users in the United States since last year, according to a report released by American Bible Society. The 2022 State of the Bible report, released Wednesday, based its findings on responses collected from a survey of 2,598 U.S. adults conducted in January. The 12th annual report asks Americans a variety of questions about their Bible use and their thoughts on its role in society. A preface to the report also highlights changes in the percentage of Bible users in U.S. over time. The American Bible Society defines Bible users as those who use the Bible at least 3 to 4 times each year on their own, outside the church setting. Hey, 3 to 4 times a year. This is serious. So, after reaching a high of 53% in 2014, the share of Bible users among the U.S. adult population consistently remained between 48% to 51%. Just last year, 50% of Americans were Bible users. However, in 2022, the users in the U.S. accounted for just 39% of the adult population, the lowest in more than a decade. The States of the Bible report described the 11% decrease as an unprecedented drop in the percentage of Bible users in the U.S. When applied to the U.S. population as a whole, the figure suggests that the number of Bible users in the U.S. dropped from 128 million in 2021 to 103 million in 2022. The group labeled Bible users consistent of Americans who read the Bible outside the church as frequently as 3 to 4 times a year to those who use the Bible daily. 10% of U.S. adults use the Bible daily, while 4% use it 4 to 6 times a week, 7% consult it 2 to 3 times a week, and then 5% read the Bible once a week, and 7% read it once a month. Hey, serious. So more than half, that's 60% of Americans use the Bible less than 3 to 4 times a year. A plurality, 40% of those surveyed never read the Bible on their own, whilst 12% read it less than once a year, and 8% look at it once or twice a year. The State of the Bible report also demonstrates that the American Bible Society describes as major decrease in scripture engagement, which is defined as consistent interaction with Bible that shapes people's choices and transforms their relationships with God, self, and others. Quote, the estimated number of scripture-engaged Americans dropped from 64 million in 2021 to 49 million in 2022. At the same time, the estimated number of Bible and disengaged Americans rose from 100 million last year to 145 million this year. The survey also inquired about respondents' Bible reading habits. The overwhelming majority, 78% of those surveyed, indicated that their Bible reading stayed the same over the past year, as 13% reported an increase in Bible reading, and the remaining 10% saw a decrease in their Bible reading. When asked, how do you think our country would be without the Bible, specifically referring to a hypothetical scenario where nobody read the Bible at all, a plurality of respondents, 45%, indicated that they thought the U.S. would be worse off without the Bible. This is a noticeable decrease from last year, when 54% of those surveyed believed that the U.S. would be worse off without the Bible. 41% of respondents contended that the country would be about the same without the Bible, an increase from 33% who said so in 2021. The share of Americans who think the U.S. will be better off without the Bible remained flat at 14% in both 2021 and 2022. In 2022, the elderly were the group most likely to believe the U.S. will be worse off without the Bible, with 64% of the oldest Americans agreeing with that statement. a majority of baby boomers, that's 55%, and the plurality of those in Generation X, 46%, also predicted that the U.S. will be worse off without the Bible. Millennials were the least group to see an absence of the Bible as making the U.S. worse off. 31% of millennials subscribe to that belief, a slightly higher share of Generation Z, 39%, the youngest group of American adults, told pollsters that an absence of the Bible will make the U.S. worse off. Overall, nearly half of respondents, 49%, agreed either strongly or somewhat that Bible reading is an important component of a child's character development, whilst an additional 27% disagreed either strongly or somewhat with that analysis. At 47%, the oldest respondents constituted the largest share of respondents who strongly agreed that the Bible reading played an important role in a child's character development. 33% of the baby boomers strongly agreed that Bible reading was important to the child's character development, along with 28% of those in Generation X, 19% of millennials, and 20% of those in Generation Z. 49% of adults also agreed with the statement proclaiming that the Bible contains everything a person needs to know to live a meaningful life. Once again, elders were far more likely than their younger counterparts to strongly agree with that statement. The share of elders who strongly agreed with that statement was measured at 44%, followed by 34% of baby boomers, 31% of Generation X, and then 22% of Generation Z, and then 19% of millennials. Additional chapters of this year's State of the Bible report are expected to be released throughout the year. But then the worrying part is, a lot of these things, if we are to do similar surveys in Ghana, it reflects same, if not even worse. Because the truth is, people are not reading their Bible, so it's not. People are not reading their Bible. So when you hear such surveys, it just gives you an idea of what is happening. And you can easily predict that it's so because as challenges in life begins to increase, you know, this year has started on a very rough note. I mean, the U.S. is no exceptional. It's no exception, sorry. So, you know, people are now drifting away from godly character, godly lives and all, and then it's like going out on their own. And that's the reason why, you know, I've been talking about knowing God in these times we are in and all, because it's very essential. If you are not prepared psychologically, spiritually, emotionally and all for the times we are in and the times ahead, if care is not taken, we also put our Bibles down and be part of the statistics like we are reading. I'm just reading. You see, because there are some who over the years have been reading the Bible all right, but you see, they've not been doing it in the, you see, knowing God is the fundamental part, the foundation. If you don't know God well, you don't have a good relationship with God. What the reading of the Bible means nothing. So that's where that missing link is. I'll be back after this song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
Set free. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah Jireh.
beautiful song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, More Than Enough. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you are my healer, for by your stripes I have been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me, and you supply all my needs. You are more than enough. You are much more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you know, repeating, Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply all my needs. You know, it's important to know God in these times because He is the God who would and who can take us through and see us through the seasons that we find ourselves in the world. And, you know, I have a few questions. Let me just ask. Are we ready for what is coming? I played the file, you heard them. Are we ready for the new world order? The world and the worldly leaders, the globalists, I mean, Professor Schwab and his people, the world leaders, they are ready because they are behind what they are doing. They know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it's very important. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, from verse 1, sorry, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman of child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. Let us not sleep. Let us not sleep. By all indications, can we say we are not asleep? Largely, can we say we are not asleep? Can we say, like the children of Issachar, you know, one favorite chapter verse, you know, it talks of they understanding the times. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:32. Let me just read. It says, and so First Chronicles 12:32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. They knew the times and what Israel ought to do. The believer, the Christian, should know the time and what to do, how to live, how to, you know. It's very important. See, so can we say we are like the children of Issachar who know the time and what has to be done? The world leaders are ready. But is the church ready? Are our church leaders ready for what is ahead? If they have no idea, how well can they prepare their members? You know, some would understand, the church is aware of. If the church was really, 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 really ready, the sermons we'll be hearing in churches will be different from what we are hearing today. Oh, no, because, you see, if we were really aware of the times we are in, we should have been at the state of being prepared for the times. But are we being prepared for the times we are in? Is that what we hear when we go to church? Are we being prepared for the times we are in? Largely, no. All that is, you know, happening now in the world should not be a surprise to the church and believers. If truly we were awake spiritually, how can we understand what is unfolding right before our eyes when we are asleep and in coma? Because we can't really figure out the dynamics, what is happening. Psalm 90 verse 12 is very good for this. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to teach us so that we can number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because we have to understand where we are. What else do we want to hear and see before we realize the hour is very late? You know, they are moving things in place. So the globalists, for the perfect storm, for the perfect time. Their perfect storm also aligns with the words, God's perfect time, the word of God, regarding the times, the end times. So it's not like they are doing their own thing. They think they are doing their own thing because they think they are wise. They want to outsmart God. But they don't know that the things they are doing is also forming exactly how God wants things to be in the end times. So they are just playing into the word of God. But they think they are wise. And, so God knows their plans and is warning the church to wake up and be ready. God is waking the church up in various ways, from messages to warnings, prophetic warnings, dreams and all. But no, we say we are comfortable in our sleep, so no disturbance. God knows the time is at hand. The globalists and this antichrist team, let's call them that way, are also well prepared for the season. But the church is nowhere near ready. Neither is she prepared for the times ahead. We are not interested in the times. We are not interested in understanding the times. We are not interested in being ready and being prepared. We've become interested in material things. The world has unconsciously deceived us into getting hooked to worldly things than spiritual things. So our priorities, let's be sincere with ourselves, to ourselves. You analyze the sermons largely all over the place. How many sermons are really geared towards heavenly preparedness? How many? You see, it's all about, survival, doing well on this earth. But yes, those are important. But the issue is, are those the priorities in terms of, if we look through the word of God, the early church, it's always a worry when I read the book of Acts and I compare it to our times. There's a vast difference. Look at the sermons, look at the church, the book of Acts, the state of the church, and how they acted and did things compared to our time today. There's a vast difference. Vast difference. You see, so it's as if we've set new, we have redefined the rules and we've set new priorities for ourselves as believers. So it's all about what is in this world for us. As for heaven, it's a future issue. So one day be then. But you see, these things are important. Understanding the season and the times we are in. Because, when you started the year, I was addressing the issue of fear and all these things. Yes, it's one of the issues, because when we don't get your priorities and your timing right in terms of, nothing is coming, all is well, nothing is coming, all is well, we'll be caught unawares in terms of when things begin to go off the way we planned and thought. So when fear comes in, then anxiety will start and follow. And then hopelessness will come in. Then depression will come in. Then it's like eventually people even give up their faith. We should be very careful now, because we are in the season where the great falling away is going to happen. And the love of many growing cold is also going to happen. You see, so these are very serious warnings Jesus gave us. The love of many, not few, the love of many will grow cold due to the circumstances in the world, the economic issues, the persecution, the confusion, the chaos, everything surrounding us will just be anti-Christian. And because we didn't really understand the timings well and didn't really understand what was happening behind the scenes, some will just blame God, But, I mean, why should God allow this to happen? And this is not what our pastor told us. This is not how we were told. This is not how we were taught and all that. So the love of many will grow cold. So we have to ensure that we don't fall into that category of those whose love, it's a Bible prophecy, is going to happen for sure. People's love is going to grow cold. But we have to endeavor and ensure that we don't get into that category. Because certainly, for that verse to be fulfilled, some people's love will have to grow cold. But it's a choice to be part of that or otherwise. The love of many growing cold is a worrying thing, because if your love grows cold in the last days, then it's serious. Because at the time when it matters most, if you say you are leaving the faith or now you are just lukewarm, you don't care anything, you don't care again, then you're almost on your way out. And then many falling away. The falling away is also another serious part of it. So these are the times when these times of uncertainties that even the world calls days of times of uncertainty and all, we should be grounded and grounded well. Else our love can grow cold or we can fall away because of what is coming. That's the fact. You see, so that's why it's important to understand what is coming, so that it's like you strengthen yourself well. Because if you just look at it, oh, casually, oh, this one there's nothing. When the storms begin to blow, you say, no, God had disappointed you. But God didn't. God didn't disappoint you. His word was clear about it. The prophecies were clear about it. So when the things that his word says will come to pass are coming to pass, you can't say that God disappointed you. He didn't. But because you didn't understand his word well from the perspective of Bible prophecy and what was happening in real time, you didn't connect it well and allow the Holy Spirit to give you a deeper understanding. Then you know that, oh, okay, then let me stand well. But then you give up. And then you give up and leave the faith if care is not taken. You become offensive. The people, the statistics, those who are living, not reading the Bible and all that, it's due to circumstances. It's not that suddenly they just stopped. They just didn't feel like reading the Bible again. No. Most people stop reading the Bible because they don't see its impact in their lives again. So they stop. You see, and if the Bible is not making an impact in your life, that means then there's something wrong with you, not the Bible. The problem is with you, not with the Bible. So if you give up on God and you say you don't read the word of God again, you can't trust it, then you leave it. Your love grows cold. You leave the faith. You stop going to church. You start having offenses against the church. You start having problems with your pastors, believers. You stop. You don't go again. You start insulting anyone who tries to advise you to go back to church and all. It starts from it will start from a point, then it will progress. It's not just suddenly, then one day, most cases it's progressive. So it's like you are reading the Bible, every day you are reading a chapter, then you start, then it reduces to one verse a day, what time, like 0000, then fading out. You see, so it's a process that we have to be careful. When we see that we are beginning to grow cold, we should be careful, especially in this season we are in. These are not like when, let's say, like getting to the end of a game. Everybody is very careful. The opponent is playing hard. You two are playing. Everybody is, because it's like towards the end of a game, anything can happen. And that's exactly how it is spiritually. We are at a point where we cannot just joke with our Christianity. We cannot just take things on the surface, on the light. Oh, it's like this. Oh, it's nothing. We should be alert and be very, very, very serious with whatever we are doing spiritually. Because the days are such that the wind that is blowing is not pleasant. So if you underestimate it, by the time you realize your love is growing cold, you are beginning to carry offenses. Then gradually you are leaving the faith. difficult times are coming. Difficult times are already here, but difficult times are ahead. That is the truth. The truth has to be said as it is. When things have turned upside down, and, you know, you are seeing it in the news. Countries have started running out of some foods and all. You see, I was telling a friend this week that when you see some things happening in Europe and elsewhere, do not think that Ghana is above these things. These things cannot happen here, that we cannot run out of some foods. So when these things begin to occur, are you still going to be a Christian? Are you still going to stand as a Christian? You know, these are the things, some of the things that will even push people to grow cold in the Lord, start blaming God, start getting disappointed. Yes, even COVID time, when lockdowns came and people were blaming their churches and all that, people stopped going to church because of these things. The church, maybe they even distributed food. They gave some people, they didn't give me. So they stopped. They all sorts of excuses. And up till now, there are a lot of churches, they've still not reached the pre-COVID numbers. People have left their faith. COVID, people left their faith during COVID lockdown. 3 months, people left their faith. So when more serious things are coming, worse than COVID, can we stand those times? Would we give up the faith? That's why it's important to be alert and understand what is happening, so that when we are praying, we know how to pray. When we are asking God for help, we know how to ask Him for help. When we are believing and trusting in Him and all, we know how to build our faith along those lines as well. Because it's very, very important we stand well in these days, because the wind that is blowing and is even about to blow ahead, it's not pleasant. We should be well grounded in our faith, else we'll be blown away. Well, Issues of Life, this is Eben, and thank God for this edition. It's recorded. We'll put it on spiritissues.info. And those in the Telegram group, too, you can have it there. And last week's edition is also there. You can listen to all the other ones as well. All right, so God willing, next week we'll be coming your way with Issues of Life again. So good night, and God bless you.
You're my healer, for by